Welcome to another episode of Grace the Ace. And on this fine day, we're going to have an expert in the field of computers and everything that goes with it. His name is Edwin Oyamo. And before I call him out of his name, I'm going to invite him in so that he can introduce himself and maybe talk a little bit about what he does. And then we'll dive into today's topic. So, hey, Edwin.
Hey, hey, Grace, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and your expertise.
Okay, so it's Edwin, computer technician who works at SigmaNet. I do the repairs. So that's Nairobi CBD. So that's a bit about myself.
Hey, you're downplaying it. Oh, you don't mention that you're the founder of your own company, but it's okay. It's fine. Just be chill.
Yeah. You're chief technician, founder, semantics, yeah? Depends on how you want to look at it.
All right. Okay. So, well, today I want us to talk a little bit about specs. And I also want to talk about machine performance with relation to the workload that is there for the machine. And just so that we can dive into it, I know most people who are starting out either as hobbyists who have their own YouTube channels or podcasts and things like that may look into buying a machine. What are some of the specs that they should be looking into?
So, for machines generally, yeah, it depends on the usage. So for like guys now who are getting into video editing and yeah, doing like YouTube stuff and all that, you really have to get something a bit more powerful. Because generally, like when you get these regular machines, you'll find that they'll be very slow. Rendering times will be crazy. I've had instances of where someone has rendered a video for 24 hours and it was just a 40
video. Yeah, that's also, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's it comes to specs. Like for guys who are trying to get into it, I always encourage them to get something like an i5, anything from third gen, Core i5 or something Ryzen 3 and above, if possible. In fact, I highly recommend getting something with a graphics card. Mm-hmm. NVIDIA or Radeon, both will work really well.
All right, and
so. Uh-huh. Then when it comes to the RAM, I recommend around starting from 8 gigs. Mm-hmm. But then if you want to now, like when you're loading and when you're loading your videos and stuff like that, to have a good buffer, I highly recommend like doing around Duco anything from 12 gigs and above.
Right. So guys who are doing heavy animations, heavy editing, that's the range they should be looking toward.
Yeah. Like that's bare minimum, where they'll at least have good enough work. But like properly recommended, like for now, I recommend for guys get something Ryzen 5 with a Radeon graphics with around 4 GB of RAM on the graphics, 8 to 12 gigs of DDR4 memory on the machine itself. Mm-hmm. And you're really good to go. Yeah, and then also, it's in fact, for these days, I usually tell like anyone who comes by the shop, just upgrade your machine to have an SSD. Mm-hmm. And if it's possible, you can have a hard disk at the same time. Because the advantages of an SSD in terms of speed are so massive that it gives a really big boost into how the machine functions.
Ah, okay. And now that you've mentioned, because now this is when someone is going out there to buy, and you've mentioned that some people are already stuck with their machines. For example, I'm stuck with my machine, which I love, and you've mentioned upgrading it. So
yes,
I gave you my machine and you did upgrade it. I started off at 4 GB RAM and now I'm at 6, and hopefully soon I'll get to 8 or higher. And we also talked about getting me an SSD card, I mean an SSD hard drive. So why is that the recommendation for me? For those who are listening and don't know, why is that the recommendation for someone like me?
Okay, so like for your machine, you have an Asus X551, I think, if I remember so well.
Yeah.
So for such machines, the problem that they were having, and especially when you get something a bit older in the generation, around older than 3 years, you might find that a good chunk of them don't have an SSD slot, like a dedicated SSD slot. So that's why you put the M.2 cards, the ones that look like small Wi-Fi cards.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can just Google. So now on for such a machine, I usually recommend just swapping out completely the hard disk for an SSD and then carrying an external hard disk, because the performance benefits that you get from an SSD so much more outweigh the space limitations that people tend to believe that they'll get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for such, after you move the hard disk, the internal one, you can now use it as an external. So you've gotten more storage in the first place. Mm-hmm. Plus now you have the faster machine, and then it'll perform better. Generally, it'll perform better. Okay. So like there's a client I did for an SSD swap just the other day, and we moved his, normally he used to say that his booting times, like turning on the computer, it would last around 3 to 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the day when we brought the machine, and then we did the swap, just then we did the check, and his machine booted in 15 seconds.
Oh, awesome. Which
it's a pretty big difference, yeah.
All right, so I kind of want to get into the technicalities of the SSD versus the hard drive itself. What actually is it that makes the SSD superior in terms of how it writes the data onto it versus how the hard drive does write the data onto it? Is it also a matter of susceptibility to damage? Is the SSD better insulated against damage than the hard drive? You can talk about that as well.
Oh, in fact, yeah, that's one of the biggest reasons why SSDs have become very popular and are taking over the scene. Because you see, hard drives, it's like having you know, the old vinyl players. It's like a hard drive is having those vinyl players tucked together in your machine. So especially guys who travel with their machine so much, carry them in their bags and stuff like that, most of those guys ended up having these issues of at one point you had this fails, and it's because you've just been carrying it. So you find that the lifespan of a hard disk is highly determinant on whether the machine is being carried around, whether the kind of usage like the person does on it. But now on the SSD side, it's the data is written in small caches. It's like having RAM that's permanent. So that's the good part of it. So in terms of writing, the speeds of writing to an SSD are usually faster because the way that the data is written on the SSD itself is direct, and there are no magnetic needles on it and stuff like that. So like that's the short rundown of it.
Direct, it's like a like a digital write instead of having the same way you've given the example of the vinyl records, the music vinyl records. When you put the needle down, the needle will read the indentations on the vinyl so that the sound can be heard. So in this case, that's the writing process for the hard disk. Whereas for the single slate disk, it's more digitized, if I'm getting you correctly.
Yes, exactly. So in fact, for the hard disk, they use magnetic kind of needles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a magnetic plate. So yeah, that's like the biggest advantage. So in terms of writing speeds, that's mm-hmm. why for hard disk, the one of the biggest impediments that guys were having
mm-hmm.
was to boost writing speeds. You'd have to have the hard disk itself,
mm-hmm.
to spin so fast, like really fast. So now the heat benefit
mm-hmm.
and though the heat output that come from that
mm-hmm.
would again now affect the hard disk. So the longevity of the life of it would be very, very low.
Okay. That's
yeah. So in fact, one of the best ways guys are boosting speed on their machines was you change your normal hard disk come running at 5400 RPM.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are 7200 and then 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So guys who would know would look for 10,000 RPM hard disk.
Mm-hmm.
But then now you see that the heat output and it had a higher susceptibility of failure for the 10,000. So the sweet spot was 7200. But then again, the problems are still the same. It's still a regular hard disk.
Okay. And moving on to that, I also wanted to ask, as a technician on your end, if, say, I was to come in with the issue of data recovery, would it be easier to recover from a hard drive, or is it easier to recover from a single slate drive?
No,
or is that just
no, that's yeah, that's now that now becomes a disadvantage on the D part. When it comes to mm-hmm. data recovery on the SSD, it's usually a bit mm-hmm. harder because, especially when the damage is excessive, because mm-hmm. SSDs are very susceptible to short circuits. So, when the damage reaches that point, you find that you can't recover your data completely. But then, now for hard disk, when the damage is really excessive, but you can access the platters themselves. So
mm-hmm.
now we can transfer the platter to a similar hard disk, read off of mm-hmm. it once, and then now mm-hmm. do the recovery. So that's as of now, that's the advantage that the hard disk have. But generally, mm-hmm. SSD failure has been on the low side. Like, personally, I've not had an issue with an SSD failing.
Okay, then you're very good at your job, or the parts you source are of good guarantee, let's just say. Or let's say your clients are also not crazy people flinging their laptops off of roofs.
Yeah, true. But that's another issue.
Yeah.
How crazy are mm-hmm. you with your machine? Yeah.
So yeah.
Also, machine generally how you treat them.
Okay, well, that's also another thing I wanted us to talk about. But before I go into that, is there anything that we haven't touched on in terms of upgrading for those of us who our machines are kind of old but still have the potential to be upgraded? Is there anything else we can do aside from hardware, even software? If upgrading to the latest OS is a good move or is it not a good move? Which OS is Linux superior to? I mean, some of these things we need to know, because the more we can squeeze out in terms of performance from our machines, the better, instead of buying a new one.
Okay, now when it comes to the operating system,
mm-hmm.
that is usually more of a personal kind of decision,
mm-hmm.
but then you'll find that Linux runs so much more smoother than Windows,
mm-hmm.
and it runs so much more lighter than Windows.
Mm-hmm.
But then now the problem that most people end up having with Linux is that the learning curve is very steep. Like,
yeah,
so much different. You see, like, guys who do Macs and Windows have very, there are mm-hmm. so many things that are so similar. But now when you come to Linux is Linux. So different that you really have to take your time to learn it first, and then now find the best distro that's good for you. And then now from mm-hmm. that point again, start installing your programs, start running your programs. So yes, Linux will give you a bit more performance out of the machine,
mm-hmm.
but then now in terms of stability, you might struggle a bit. And then also the other problem with Linux is that not so many programs are made for it. So finding again a program that will work with it might again become another issue. So personally, I just recommend that if you're on Windows, just do Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
Windows 10 at least it a bit lighter, such that even it could run on older machines. So when you can just do Windows 10, and then from there you just do your programs. Yeah, then all will be well. Now that's in terms of the OS. But now for upgradability,
mm-hmm.
One of the best upgrades again to do is a RAM upgrade. Now, depending on which machine you have, most machines have a... Now, the kind of RAM that guys use
mm-hmm.
in different machines, you might find they're varied speeds. So for like DDR3, there's DDR3 that starts from 10400,
mm-hmm.
and then there's 12800, and then there's another one. I think there's one for 8500.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, if you have something that's running at 8500 megahertz,
mm-hmm.
it will clock a bit lower than 10600. And then now when you have 12800 megahertz,
mm-hmm.
like that's the highest that DDR3 can do,
mm-hmm.
and it works like really well.
Ah, all right. And in the world of graphics cards, for guys who are, let's say, doing a lot of animation, editing graphics in terms of creating graphics for TV and film, what is the recommendation that you'd point them towards? Like, you can name brands, it's fine, even though they are not paying me, but they should. but yeah, you can name brands that you personally have recommended to your client and me.
Okay, so like now that would be more for guys who are using desktops and building desktops, like now the desktop towers or anything on the similar side.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the laptop side, whatever you buy, whatever you get. So if you, and most of them don't have this dedicated graphics that's good for animation.
Okay.
So generally,
mm-hmm.
all graphics cards can do all this works for graphics in terms of video output, video generation, mm-hmm. animation, and all that. But then you find situations where certain graphics cards are optimized for certain mm-hmm. purposes. And because the main purpose that guys get graphics cards, like one of the first main purposes, usually gaming, there are so many more cards mm-hmm. optimized for gaming.
Yeah.
That are out there. Yeah. So good mm-hmm. thing is you can use them. But then now for such purposes like animation, graphic design, and mm-hmm. stuff like that, the Quadro has been proven to mm-hmm. be a really good card. Like generally it's even what guys from Pixar use and stuff like that. So you know, depending on where you can get a Quadro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, depending on where you are, it will determine like what level and also your budget, like what mm-hmm. kind of a card you can get. They're very easy to find also on the secondhand market. That's mm-hmm. on Amazon, eBay. So you can just have a look and see what would work for you and your budget.
Okay. I feel like GPUs or graphic cards are a topic that is so diverse and so deep that maybe one time we'll arrange to do a separate episode on that. But I think so far the information you've offered is quite good, because I've also been looking into the Quadro, because I consulted you about it and I looked into it and I compared it first with my Pocket and then second with the features that I'll be able to get from it, because like we were discussing, I wanted to buy a new machine and I wanted that machine to be a beast.
That's true. So like now you see, for your purpose, I told you like first step is see what the budget you can run with.
Mm-hmm.
For machine that we can build like the individual specs, and then now see what can be upgraded later. Because the advantage also of doing your own machine, and especially when it comes to building, is that you, in terms of upgradability, you can decide what to upgrade, when to upgrade it. You can start with one card and then swap it out for another one later. If it's still working, you can get some money out of it by selling it. You see?
So, yeah. All right. So this has been part one of our discussion with Edwin the Tech Genius. And we're going to come back in for part two shortly, and we'll take it from there.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me.